Martin Malloy are proud to present their all-new autumn range of comedy characters. Over the next few months, you'll be enjoying the occasional visit from some cockamamie additions to our ever-growing stable of knockabout characters, like Harvey, the disgruntled lobster.
Ooh! Ow! Ooh! That's enough now! Come on, you've had your fun! Get me out of here! Come on! It's starting to get a little hot! I don't like it anymore! It's starting to hurt! Oh, come on! I haven't been a bad lobster, have I? I'm trying to be a good little fella! My bottom hurts!
And if you reckon Harvey's a wacky funster, wait till you meet Roger, the laughing pumpkin. He's got Albie the greengrocer just about at the end of his tether.
Yes, mister, how can I help you?
I don't know, what's good?
Well, I got some beautiful bananas, some very ripe mango.
Ooh.
How about some beautiful grapes?
Who's that laughing?
It's the pumpkin, just ignore him. How about some fresh cauliflowers? Or some melon, you like melon?
All right, that's it, I've had it with you, you stupid pumpkin. Why do you mock me? Shut up, I tell you. Shut up, you stupid pumpkin! Are you finished now? Don't you laugh! Don't laugh! Hey, 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 stupid pumpkin!
What about Barry, the knife-wielding treasurer?
Barry, you must be disappointed with the balance of payment figures for the second quarter. I mean, it's the third successive drop in his...
Barry stepped another reporter! Somebody call the police! Drop the knife, Barry!
Stand back or I'll cut you from ear to ear!
Perhaps you prefer the screwball antics of Tanya, the marriage guidance counsellor who bites the heads off live bats.
So, Trevor, can you tell me how you think Janet might feel when you don't come home for 3 days?
Oh, a little unhappy, I suppose. It's just that...
What are you doing? Oh, mother of God, you are sick, you hear me? Sick!
And for the kiddies, you can't go past our new pal, Jeff the serial-killing nanny goat. So kick back, relax and enjoy our all-new autumn range of comedy characters. Coming soon to Martin Malloy. Right, Roger?
I'm telling you, shut up! Shut up, you stupid pumpkin! Hey, hey, hey!
Hurts so good here at Martin Malloy Sense. Has there been much reaction from the listeners to the new characters?
Oh, yeah.
Thumbs up for the laughing pumpkin.
What about Harvey? The disgruntled lobster. He's a character.
Oh, I like Harvey.
I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more of his work now. What about When Celebrities Attack? That got launched yesterday.
In fine style.
Entertaining many listeners, confusing even more. We had people calling up impersonating Mel Colston, charging at a bain-marie. It was some very fine work.
It was indeed.
And we'll have another challenge in the next hour, thanks to Blue M&Ms. Also, Radio Gladiators is coming up, and Funny Buggers Week continues. We're basically helping ourselves to the many guests who are out for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. I know people in all states may not care about that, but it is a chance to meet some comics.
Indeed.
Who we otherwise probably wouldn't have heard of.
Very funny man.
And Franklin Ajay, a very funny man indeed, is with us in the next hour. Also, look, there's a few stories to get through. I love it. What have you got there? I'm distracted, as always, by the Elton John 50th birthday bizzo, but we're going to get to that later.
Oh, right? Yeah, ignore that. Yeah. Have a look directly underneath. Here's a story I've just come across now. Your underwear could offer you more than just comfort and support by the new millennium.
Oh, you found that one, did you?
Yeah, I did. You tried to hide it, but to no avail. Listen to this. French scientists are working on new underwear that can release vitamins, hormones and antibiotics onto the skin. That's amazing, isn't it? I'm into the concept. No, I think it'd be nice to get something back from my underpants after everything I've given them over the years. Do you think? Listen, fabric-containing drugs have already been created and scientists are testing the amount of washing they can endure. There's another breakthrough. Can you wash underpants? Is that true? How long's that been going on? Is this a new thing?
Underpants that produce, what, antibiotics?
Yes.
Oh, gee, antibiotics. Must have been the dog.
Drugs in underpants. That's nothing new. I do that quite a bit, usually on my return from Thailand. I hardly ever come home without a full bag of derps.
Now, look.
I think I'm done.
Okay. I want to get to this dog rescue story because, you know, you're always reading about heroic dogs in the paper. Mm. But I'm a big fan of Boots. Have you been following Boots' work?
What's Boots' story?
A clever dog has been hailed as a hero after saving his owner's life. Now, we've all heard that bit.
Sure.
But then read on. Bill Newton, 74, suffered a heart attack recently at his home in Glen Innes, northern New South Wales. His Fox Terrier crossbreed Boots was his only chance. Mm. Mr. Newton scrawled a message on a scrap of paper, stuck it in the dog's collar, and sent him off to find help. But Boots had a bit of trouble. He returned home twice with the note still in his collar. Another time without the note, and I think just a tennis ball. But anyway, Mr. Newton, gasping for breath on the floor, urged the dog again to go for help. This time, the dog finally wandered into the backyard of a nurse, so that's good news, who found the SOS note, not after a bit of, give me that first, I'm guessing. The only problem was this happened on April Fool's Day, and she was a bit wary. Mr. Newton said she thought about it for half an hour before ringing the police.
Right.
So, anyway, help arrived just in time. Mr. Newton was rushed to the Glen Innes Hospital, and there's a picture of him in Boots looking right as rain, but I'm enjoying that. And, you know, that's reminded me of last April Fool's Day. I don't believe anything anyone says to me on April Fool's Day. You find that?
No.
I treat everything with suspicion. There's meter maids outside. Yeah, right. Mick can't come in today. He's sick. Sure. TV Variety is back. Pull the other one. April Fool's Day. And if someone has been the victim of an April Fool's Day prank in today's paper, it surely must be Tim Fisher.
Boy!
In Pakistan with the silly hat on. And it's a traditional headdress, of course.
It?
We've got a theory on this program. Long-time listeners would know. We believe there's no such thing as a traditional headdress in any country. Mm-hmm. It's just something designed to make foreign politicians look like googs. And check out this. You've got Tim Fisher wearing what's described as Pakistan's traditional Peshawar headdress. And he's got what looks like a loaf of bread on his head, wrapped in a scarf. And he's talking to the the tribal chief, who's wearing a blazer tie and slacks.
What's going on there?
He's the tribal chief.
I've looked at that photo of Tim Fisher and I thought he was off to Elton John's birthday party. Look at that.
No, he's wearing that. Everyone's just, you know, acting as if it's completely normal. Apparently later Tim's put on his normal hat. Everyone's just pissed themselves.
This is Martin Malloy.
This is Martin Malloy. Thanks, as always, to Coca-Cola and Pete, if you could.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
All right, let's talk Elton John, shall we?
Elton's
50th birthday. Is there a worse-dressed celebrity in the world than Elton John?
I don't think so.
Even for $100,000, he's still looking like a goose for mine. Have a look at that.
I know.
I'm sure people will have seen the picture. Now, he's dressed kind of as what is the Scarlet Pimpernel with a boat on his head. Now, how does that cost $100,000?
I don't know.
Ripped off. I'm thinking, you know, ABC wardrobe would knock you up that for, you know, $500.
Whether you wanted to or not. I saw their newsreader wearing something similar to that last week.
He must have gold underpants on underneath or something. How does that cost $100,000? Spectacular though it is.
I do not know.
Anyway, let's have a read of the details. Blah, blah, blah. The ensemble was so bulky that Elton was unable to travel the short distance from his West London home to the party. And instead, he was travelled there. That's what it says in this article. I'm not sure Stuart Littlemore will be onto this.
Indeed.
He was travelled there in the back of a removal van fitted with a throne decked out in red velvet. I believe that's the only way that Amanda Vanstone can get to a university campus.
There they go again.
Oh, look. Anyway, once travelled there, he was met by other celebrities kitted out in even more ridiculous gear. Mm. And I'm sure people would have seen Andrew Lloyd Webber by now. Look at that picture.
Oh, don't do it.
I'm going, he's gone as a Smurf. But no, it's Andrew Lloyd Webber's idea of a Manchester United fan. That is the least convincing footy fan since PJ Keating claimed he was a Collingwood supporter.
That is not a good look. What is he thinking? Who's that he's with? Little Playboy bunny.
That's his wife, apparently. But imagine if Andrew Lloyd Webber showed up at a Manchester United game in that gear. How long would he last?
I'd like to see that.
It depends if he was sitting next to Elton John or not.
He was followed by Barbara Windsor, who, of course, is the woman from the Carry On films.
Correct.
Which I'm sure a lot of people are enjoying on the ABC of a Saturday night at the moment. And fashion designer Jean-Paul Gaultier wore a skimpy maid's get-up. Well, he normally does, from what I've seen.
It's what he likes.
So, what are we talking about today?
Jane, what's the stupidest thing you've ever worn in public? All How's
right,
that sound?
Let's get it down to that. That's all we want to know. Have you done an Elton? Have you done an Andrew Lloyd Webber? Tell us about the stupidest thing you've ever worn in public. Any examples from you, Mick Malloy?
Me and another bloke went to a party once in a pantomime Amanda Van Dyne Stone costume.
There they go again! You can't get away with anything these days.
There's no need.
Once I was in, I went out in public. It was in a full, this is true, in a full clown regalia, head to toe. I've got the wig, I've got the nose, got the whole lot. Also had a sawn off shoddy because I was holding up a 7-Eleven at the time.
Yeah.
But that's what you do.
But didn't you feel foolish?
I did indeed. We all had a laugh about it afterwards.
I think I told this story last year where I was at home and I just happened to be wearing a white T-shirt and a red V-neck jumper, and some friends came by and said, we've got free tickets to the new Star Trek movie. So I've just jumped in the car, gone with them, got there and realised I look like I'm trying to dress like one of the characters. The most embarrassing afternoon of my life.
Oh, you'd have hightailed it out of there with your jumper over your head, I reckon.
There was no getting around it. I just, in the end, I just went, okay, and I'm doing the little hand signal.
This is once I went to the, I was going to the footy, and it was raining and I didn't have a brolly, so and I was running late, so I've gone to my kitchen drawer and I've grabbed a roll of Glad Wrap. And once I've got there, I've covered myself in wrapped myself up like a mummy, just sat there.
Yeah,
at the footy.
And you were crispy fresh at the end of the day.
I had to poke a hole through from my mouth so I could eat my hot dog.
Obviously, in the course of television sketch comedy, we've dressed up in some pretty stupid gear.
Sure.
And I remember one day being on the top of the Westgate Bridge in Melbourne with you, I think. I was dressed as the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz. Jane Kennedy was dressed as Dorothy. Who were you in that?
I think I was the Lion.
And we'd blocked off a whole lane, or rather, the ABC had blocked off a whole lane of the freeway, the bridge, and so traffic was banked up for quite some time, and so by the time the cars were coming past us filming, if you slow down the footage, you can just see blokes leaning out of trucks going, yes! It's just a torrent of abuse. And we're trying to mime to, we're off to see the wizards. So that was making a googie yourself, wearing something stupid in public.
Yep.
And we want to hear the stupidest thing you've ever worn in public. Do we have a prize? Yes, indeed. Tickets for two to see the movie of your choice. Whatever you want, be it that Crash, be it the castle, be it, I don't know, what else is on at the moment? Anything good?
Is it some, like, Porky's 7 or something?
There must be a Porky's film on.
Russell something like
somewhere.
That? Somewhere. Bikini Shop.
Bikini Shop.
That's
if it's still
back.
Playing, you can go and see that. You'll also go into the draw for 8 days in an endless summer. It's been timed. It's officially endless. It takes place at Club Med New Caledonia. Call us now, 1-800-657-657. Right time here at Martin Malloy now, because there's all these shots of the festivities for Elton John's 50th birthday in the paper today. We're simply asking, what's the stupidest thing you've ever worn in public? And our first caller is Danny Minogue, who's...
No!
Oh, look,
stop. First caller is Tim Fisher.
Oh! Maybe it's Greg Ritchie. No, let's go to the genuine callers. Who's first?
Let's try Mark. How are you, buddy?
Not too bad. Yourself?
I can't complain at this stage. What's the stupidest thing you've ever worn in public?
Well, one night I was at a nightclub and I lost a competition. I had to throw a basketball through a hoop.
Yes.
And if I lost, I had to walk down a Hungry Jack's wearing a pair of women's boxer shorts, buy an ice cream... the 30 cent ice cream and bring it back to the DJ.
Right.
It was a pretty crowded nightclub.
And we're taking it, you lost.
I lost, yeah, I missed that throw by miles.
And how did you go?
Oh, it was pretty embarrassing.
You made it to Jack's in one piece?
Yeah, didn't get mugged.
Right. You look like you'd already been mugged, I'm guessing.
It's a good possibility. I didn't have anywhere to put the money.
And what did they say down at Jack's?
Oh, they just looked at me because it had happened all before.
They didn't even charge you for the ice cream, did they?
They
said,
here
you go, buddy. You can have that.
And what did the winner get?
They got a trip to the reef.
Of course. With you in the shorts.
No, they didn't.
All right. Well, thanks, Mark. That's not bad. Mm-hmm. Women's boxer shorts.
Yeah.
I suppose, you know, but I think we can go a lot stupider than that.
Let's try.
Sue, are you there?
Yes.
Sue, been wearing something stupid in public?
Not for a long time.
Right. What did you do?
I was in fourth grade and it wasn't voluntary. Mum put me in a red skivvy for school photo day.
Oh, school photo!
Yeah, but it's not even our school colours.
So everyone else was in uniform, you were in a red skivvy.
They were in nice white shirts and their tunics and I was in a red skivvy.
Oh, have you still got that one blown up?
It's in fourth grade. It's on Mum's mantelpiece.
Yeah, I remember when I was at school, when I was about 12, kid sitting in the front row of the school photo, seconds before the shot was taken, pulled his pants down. And the photo had to be redone at a later date.
Did it? Everyone stay back after school?
With him standing at the back.
Mm.
Have you still got that skivvy, Sue?
No, maybe Mum kept it. I haven't got it.
Yes, yes. It's a chamois cloth by now, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Craig has been wearing something stupid in public. Tell us about it, Craig.
We went to a New Year's Eve party where we had to go in fancy dress, starting with something with the letter of P, and went dressed as a giant potato. And we had to go down the street and find something starting with P and bring it back as a prize. And a mate went dressed as a priest and... The service station down the road was called Povey Petrol, so a priest and potato were carrying the Povey Petrol sign down the street.
There's a good look. Fantastic.
Off to some kind of weird nativity play. That's what people would have thought.
I think that's what they made Tim Fisher wear in Pakistan.
It's traditional.
Indeed.
It's traditional. What did you throw on? How did you make yourself a bit of a potato suit?
I was working for a potato packing company in Newcastle at the time. It was way out of foam and you only had two little eye holes hanging out. You could hardly see and there was foam and gloves and packing and God knows what everywhere.
So you had access to a giant potato. Fantastic. And, you know, did anyone try and cut you up into chips? Did that happen?
No, they tried to skin you though.
Give you a wedgie?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he was admitted to the Senate, I believe, at some stage.
Okay, thanks, Craig. The potato. Have we got Gail? Gail?
Yeah. What How are you?
Not bad. Have you been wearing stupid stuff?
Pretty stupid, you'd call it.
Yeah, what?
Yeah. I was invited to a fancy dress party on New Year's Eve about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they also had a fancy dress party at the Country Club Hotel at Strathpine.
Yeah.
So I was a G party.
Yes.
And you had to go something starting with a G. Well, I couldn't go as myself as the genius, so I had to pick something else.
Yeah.
And... they wouldn't let me go as a G-spot, so I decided I'd go as the gift box.
Oh, okay, gift box. You are a genius. How did you ever think of that?
And you pretty easy.
So you had a giant sort of gift box on.
A giant box covering me, yeah.
And when it turned midnight, did you unwrap yourself alluringly?
No, but I had a few guys chasing me up the street wanting to find out what was inside the box.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, she was groped by a bloke who was dressed as the bomb disposal robot.
All night. Wouldn't let her out of his sight.
You're a suspicious package, madam. You'll have to come with me.
All right, thanks, Gail. And, you know... It's Gail. She could have just gone as Gail.
But she's a genius. Okay. Don't interfere, Tone.
All right.
Out of your depth.
Have we got Melanie on the line? You there, Mel?
Yep.
What do you dress up as?
I came as a can of Foster's beer.
Oh, for a similar kind of arrangement, New Year's Eve?
No, for year five, sort of a parade, then we had to come up as something truly Australian, so I went as beer.
Very nice. And did you win a prize?
No, I did not.
Right.
Sent home early. All the other kids were shaking her up and down violently all afternoon. Got a headache.
And did, like, about, you know, a whole lot of other people come the same and you just form a big slab?
No, we had a few come up as Heinz tomato sauce, so, yeah.
They couldn't, Tone. There's a toucan limit.
Oh, like, stop it now.
Have you got those booze there, Gracie? Yeah,
she later married Greg Ritchie, and they're very happy together. It's the perfect relationship. Have we got, finally, Simon online? Are you there, Simon?
I am indeed. Tony Mick, how are you?
Good, bud.
Thanks for waiting, Si. And what have you dressed up as?
I actually dressed up in a can-can outfit, but I didn't just dress up in it. I also did the can-can.
And... was this just an idea of yours, or was
I was actually on the Fairstar.
Oh, of course. Of course you were.
You're the captain of the Fairstar, aren't you?
Oh, of course.
What happened?
Well, they roped a few of us boys in, dressed us up in drag with balloons as boots, yes, and sent us out to do the can-can.
Oh, and all that is just a thing of the past. What a sad. Were you invited back for the final cruise to reenact your performance?
I would have loved to have done it.
I think he was on board the final cruise. I think the can-can routine might have just about pulled the plug on the whole project.
He's gone too far. Well, is that our winner? But we got Simon on the Fairstar in the can-can gear. Melanie is the can of Foster's. Gail is the box. We've got Craig the potato. And, of course, Sue in the red skivvy. And Mark right at the front in the shorts. What about Craig?
He's gone potato, man.
The man who went as a spud and ended up carrying something beginning with P with a priest. He's our winner today. You there, Craig?
Yeah.
You've got tickets to see the movie of your choice, and you've gone into the draw for 8 days at Club Med New Caledonia.
Choice.
You have to go dressed as a potato, though. It's part of the requirement. And when is that being drawn, Sans? At the end of this week, Friday. So be listening then. Thanks to everyone who looks stupid today. And we'll be back in the next hour with comedian Franklin Ajay.
This is Martin Malloy.
Ow, pointy! You slimy. Uh-oh, moving!
Brought to you
of Martin Malloy wins Celebrities Attack, the competition that could bag you a walk-on role in NYPD Blue. Thanks to new blue M&Ms, we've got a highly revealing interview with the PM. And next up, comedian Franklin Ajay joins us, all thanks to Coca-Cola. Harmony here at Martin Malloy, Harry Connick Jr. It's the second hour, and yes, the comedians are queuing up here at the studio. This bloke, for over 20 years, he's been known as one of the most laid-back comedians in the business. He's been nominated for Emmy Awards, and he's one of the many fine comics currently on display at that comedy festival in Melbourne. Here he is, freelance Renaissance man, Franklin Ajay. Franklin, thanks for coming in today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, you're a regular visitor to Australia. I have to say, one of my all-time favourite comedy albums is an album you made, I think, in Sydney back in 1985.
Right. Yep. Plaid Pants and Psychopaths.
That's right. And it was on the old vinyl format.
Right.
Has that ever come out on CD, that album?
Hell no. I don't even think you can find it anywhere. You know, it was powder. I remember this guy just came and he said, look, I'll tape you. You know, just to kind of get something going here, you know, and yeah. I think it cost about $500 to produce, so that I don't even know if the company still exists.
Well, it's an album that, and no offense, but if you go to a secondhand record shop, mm-hmm, and you go to the comedy bin, and that milk crate, you'll often find it for about $1.50.
Oh, really?
And it's one of the funniest $1.50s you'll ever spend.
Oh, yeah.
And one of my favorite routines on that album is you talk about why black people will never play golf.
Oh, because of the plaid pants keep black people out of golf.
But has the combination of Tiger Woods and O.J. Simpson ruined that routine?
Yes, it has. That routine is now defunct. Tiger is killed. He's got black people in the golf. And plus, you know, all the other athletes, you know, like Greg Norman, you know, the new golfers, they really dress pretty sharp. You know, when you really think about it, they're sharp, man.
Oh, you still see the appalling pants from time to time.
On the senior circuit. On the senior circuit.
They just won't let go.
Yeah, they won't let go.
They just love tucking their
white
pants into their socks.
Yeah, how many times have you been out here now?
Gee, you know, all told to Australia, I'd say 13, 14 times, maybe.
Okay, and what do you make of the place? What are your observations?
Well, it's the most relaxed place, you know. even when you're out of work, the Aussies are relaxed, you know. I have friends that say, hey, you know, I just lost my job. I say, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm just going to relax a couple of weeks. You know? And have a coffee.
Franklin, you describing people as relaxed is a hard concept for me to get my head around. Okay. I've seen you perform, man. Uh-huh. You look like you've just dunked a couple of chill pills.
Oh, really?
When you take the stage, yeah, you're pretty relaxed up there yourself.
People tell me that, but the mind is going a million miles a minute, man.
He's running on the inside.
Totally.
How long have you been doing stand-up comedy total?
Well, all told, I'd say now this is my 25th year, though I took 3 years off.
25 years? Yeah, and who was around when you started? Was there such a thing? I mean, there was a period there in the 70s.
Well,
where...
you know, Ned Kelly.
He's got a great 20 minutes.
Never go on Ned after Kelly. Him, Franklin.
Breaker Morant. I did a show with Breaker Morant. He was pretty good. Just before he got shot, he had a good sense of humor. Yeah. But when I started out, God, that's Jay Leno in the States. Jerry Seinfeld came after me. Richard Pryor was ahead of me, and George Carlin. They were like my major influences, you know, Bill Cosby. But, you know, Billy Crystal started about the same time.
Of course, what I'm leading to is you tend to get wicked for a while and go underground. What have you been doing since you were last out here?
I wrote on 3 sitcoms in the United States as a writer, and I actually got moved up to writer-producer on the last one, which was a family sitcom called Parenthood. But I actually got tired because I couldn't get on the really smart sitcoms like a Seinfeld. I'm going to try to get on with something like that, or Frasier, you know, and so it got really frustrating. A lot of the comedians actually have moved into that in the States, but for self-expression, it got a little frustrating, you know, so I actually kind of said, well, I'll move back into this.
I have to ask, Franklin, has there ever been a black person on Frasier?
that's a very good question.
That's one of the, you know, that sitcom is even too white for Australia. You know? They put it on here, and I know it's a great show, but people just don't, it's too kind of New York intellectual sort of...
Well, it's foppy.
A couple of foppish black.
Very foppish, you know, very foppish. But, you know, they probably haven't had a black cat on Frasier.
Well, that could explain about that. Why you didn't get onto that show.
That's true. That's true. That's very, very true. So I just, you know, I was on the kind of the dumber sitcom, so I kind of, you know, left. Good man, well-paid rejection, I called it.
Well, it's good to have you back in the country. And do you want to stick around for another break with us?
Yeah, sure.
And Franklin Ajayi is here with us. How am I doing with the name, Franklin?
Almost, man. It's Ajayi. African name. It's warrior with good jump shot.
Been a fan of yours for 15 years, still don't know how to say it proper. You know, what I like about some of your work, Franklin, I don't mean to bring it down to a base level. A lot of comics talk about old TV shows. It's bread and butter for stand-ups, but you seem to do it better than a lot of other people. One of your earliest routines I remember enjoying was about Hawaii Five-O.
Hawaii Five-O, with Chin Ho, played by Cam Fong.
That's the one!
He starts cracking me up when I'd see that. And Chin Ho, played by Cam Fong.
And the computer on Hawaii Five-O.
Oh, yeah, they'd use the computer to solve crimes. That's the first show, you know, McGarrett, he'd come in, he'd say, all right, Dana, what do we have? And Dana would say, well, Steve, the coroner says that the victim was killed by a karate chop by the right side, you know, and the cat say, all right, Chin, run that through the computer. And bring me a list of all Asians on the island with peripheral vision.
One earlier computer possibly than Hawaii Five-O was the Bat Computer. Do you remember that?
Oh, no.
On Batman.
Oh.
It was a computer that had about 8 knobs. It was like a gas stove, and just by turning them, you could get the most specific information on a little card.
Yeah.
And, of course, another routine which a lot of people are big fans of out here is your Star Trek routine.
Which I just saw the new Star Trek on the plane with Captain Picard, John Luke, you know, and... I was looking at it, and I said, you know, it's the year 4000. They can cure everything but baldness. It's amazing. They can do so much.
And you did a lot of stuff on how Captain Kirk was the lady killer in space.
Yeah.
How do you think Picard is comparing there?
Oh, no, very poor. Very, very, very poor. First off, his arms don't move when he walks, so, you know, the women... How can you hug me when your arms don't move?
Are you running a bit of a dangerous line there with the Star Trek fans? Because whenever we... I mean, now that this has gone to air, we will be inundated with email... from
really?
Star Trek fans. They don't like it.
Oh, no, they love it. They like my little Star Trek. You know, Captain Kirk, you know, he would hit on all these women on these foreign planets. He could, but he hit on anything, I noticed. He'd hit on creatures. He would. He hit on women with hoses coming out of their head. You know, one episode he landed and he tried to make eye contact with a little hose head woman. She was grotesque. Even Bones looked at her and went, no, Jim, come on, Jim, no.
Franklin, what are you up to on this current tour? I mean, I know you want to bring out the musical instrument from time to time.
Never have. I don't do it yet. I don't have the guts to do it. I always figure, like, I took up the clarinet as a hobby, and I thought, well, I'll try to bring it into my act, you know, because there are a lot of guys who have music in their act. You know, this Bill Bailey's supposed to be very good. Good musicians. Cats are really good. And, you know, I just really have never gotten good enough to where I think I can kind of bring it in yet and mess around with it. So I just still just play before the show and after the show.
And what's the focus of your show this year?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about the current events. You know, Charles Manson just got turned down for his 10th parole hearing. You know, he just doesn't get it. He walks down to that meeting thinking they just forgot, I guess. You know, and Hale Bopp, the comet that... what a comet. What a name for a comet, man. Hale Bopp. And this little suicide cult. You know, when they first killed themselves, I said, well, you know, at least they had the balls to do it, but turned out they didn't have any balls. Nobody had any balls.
All right. Now, Franklin, I'm very keen to point people in the right direction. You're on in Melbourne at the International Comedy Festival, but you're not on at one of the traditional venues.
No.
Where are you? How do you get there?
I am at the Trades Hall, man, on Lygon Street in Victoria. It's a new venue. It's a lot like the Town Hall, big, beautiful building. I got a nice room. I'm in the new council chambers. It's a nice, intimate room, and that's where it is.
So come along.
9:45.
And Franklin
Tuesday through Sundays
personally serves you a cocktail at the end of every show.
No, but I do talk to the people after the show.
All right, and you can take the clarinet along and get in for a bit of a jam.
Hey, I may start to play, you know. Who knows?
All right, well, thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks a lot.
Simply Red here at Martin Molloy. Thanks very much to Franklin Ajay.
Yeah.
Remember when people just used to call him Franklin Ajay? He'd come out here. It's the same bloke, but people have learned how to say his name. And once again, if you are going to Melbourne, or if you're already there, or if you're going up there, across there, down there, through there, and you want to see Franklin in action, he's on at the Trades Hall.
Correct.
In Carlton, because I know a lot of people going to that festival just go, oh, we'll just go to the Town Hall and see what's on there.
Nuh-uh.
There's lots of good stuff happening, not at the Town Hall.
Yep.
Okay, and I'll just mention something very quickly that happened in Melbourne last night. I popped down to the Esplanade Hotel and saw Paul Hester's new band giving their first ever performance, Largest Living Things.
And how was it?
It was great. He set up the shed. You know, he's been coming on here and joking, yeah, I'm setting up my shed down the SB.
We've all had a laugh.
And I've gone down there. He has.
He's done it, hasn't
he? He's recreated his shed on stage. And it's every Monday night throughout April. I know people from Perth, from the old Crowdies fan club, are flying over to see the shed.
So they should.
And I was invited into the shed and got away with a few cheap Pat Rafter gags and got out of there quick.
Did you? You're a clever chap, aren't you?
It was good fun. But, Hesse's Shed is happening throughout April, Monday
night. That's
what it's called? Well, the venue's called Hesse's Shed.
Wow.
And Paul and the Largest Living Things banging out a few tunes and sounding mighty fine, I must say. Now, I'll tell you what, are you ready for cheap sensationalism, violence and celebrities, Mick?
Yes, please.
It's time to play When Celebrities Attack. Celebrities and humans have always coexisted somewhat uneasily on this earth, and no one really knows when one may attack next. Imagine Liam Gallagher taking to a wedding cake with a 9-iron. Imagine Armin Mueller-Stahl charging a bus full of school kiddies. Imagine Carrie Ann Kennelly headbutting a drugged buffalo. Imagine being gored by one of the Hunter brothers. If you can help us relive the moment when celebrities attack, you could be up for a fabulous prize, courtesy of new blue M&Ms.
Today, we simply want to hear the sound of Mal Colston attacking the Parliament House Bay Marie.
Oh, well, I think first of all, have some of that off the bone, hands and ham. Oh, that's good stuff. Oh, fill up that saucepan with some Peter Reith prawns. I want some of those. Oh, look, there's a Commonwealth car over there. Can I have a couple of them, please? What about the Senate presidency? It'll taste great if you can get Margaret Reed's hands on here for dessert. I think I might have some Jericho dumplings and some chocolate Curnow. Oh, yes. Around the world. Oh, geez, I'm buggered.
If you're today's winner, you'll bag a blue M&M prize pack and go into the draw for a trip for two to LA and New York, where you'll score a walk-on part in NYPD Blue. Okay, lads, rattle the cage.
And who's hiding inside today, Petty Boy? I think we know. I found this little article. People have been talking about this for the last week. Mahatma told to hang up his coat over race jibes. Cricket commentator Greg Ritchie was suspended for 2 months by employers Channel 9 and Optus Vision yesterday over an incident at Perth Airport. Now, people have been talking about the incident for quite some time. It happened in the Golden Wing Lounge, blah, blah, blah. And Ritchie, who appears as the Indian cricket fanatic Mahatma Coat on Channel 9's Sydney Footy Show, allegedly racially abused a member of ANZ staff. Mm. Won't go into that in detail, but it was ugly.
All right.
Passengers who saw the incident alleged he created a ruckus and spat food. And it's his new comedy character, Greg Ritchie. He's working on it. There were further allegations that Ritchie called a flight attendant a poofter during a flight to Perth, blah, blah, blah. Yesterday, Richie apologised. It was not my intention to be rude or objectionable. That's Mahatma Coates' job. And anyway, so today, we've heard a lot of detail about this, I know, over the last week. So what are we doing? It's time to coat up.
Get into the psyche of Mahatma Coates.
And just attack a drinks trolley on the plane to Perth. How's that for an idea?
Yeah, we're talking
sick. Okay. We want you to call up and be, you can do a combination. You can do a bit of Greg and throw in a bit of Mahatma Coates and just go the drinks trolley. You're on the flight to Perth. It's when celebrities attack. We want a little bit of dialogue, a little bit of acting, a little bit of mental theatre, as you heard the bloke yesterday, as Mel Colston. Superb work there, sir. Okay, and do we have a prize? Of course we do. It's a blue M&M pack.
Wow.
Those new blue M&Ms. I think they're out of stock already. They're moving off the shelves, and you're going into the draw for a trip for two to New York and LA, and you'll get, if you come out of the barrel at the end of When Celebrities Attack in 3 weeks' time, a walk-on part in NYPD Blue.
As Mahatma Coates. You can just start dipping stuff over, abusing people. You can do whatever you want.
Jimmy Smits and that Sipkowitz guy will be leading Mahatma Coates out of an airport lounge. It'll be you, people.
With a caftan over your head.
All thanks to Blue M&Ms. Call us now and go the coat. 1-800-657-657. Yes, that madcap mumbo tells us it's time to play When Celebrities Attack here at Martin Malloy. It's a little bit of theatre of the mind. It's a chance for our listeners to demonstrate their acting skills. Hasn't been too much of that on the show this year, so we've redressed the balance. And I believe today's scenario is based, well, it's torn from the headlines, as most of our challenges are. It's your chance to essay the role of Greg Ritchie, a.k.a. Mahatma Coates, just going off on the flight to Perth. It's as simple as that. Who's going to coat up first, Mickey?
I believe it's Martin. Are you there, Martin?
Yep.
Oh, he's already coated to the eyeballs.
All right, the plane is in flight. Take it away, Martin.
What? I hate you. I hate your little silver wheels. I hate the way your legs shake when you come up the aisle. I hate your doily. I just cannot stand it. Doily, do not come near me. I hate your new lemon curry. I just hate you. And I hate the way you dress as a smurf and your stupid orange red hair. And I hate your briefcase. I just cannot stand it. I hate everything about you.
Oh, a lot of hate going on.
Wow.
Well, that's our first successful coat today. Let's move on now to Vivian. Vivian, you're going to be, I'm assuming, Indira coat. Are you there, Vivian?
Oh, dear. Yes, I am.
Oh, she's in character. Okay, you're away. You're on the flight.
Oh, dear. Where's my coat? What's my turban? Where's my bag? My bag, you little pooper, you little stuffer. Where's the beer? Oh, dear. That's not him. Oh, dear. What a whopper. A diamond stubby, but a dozen, I tell you. I'm sick of waiting for someone's service here. What do you mean is this baggage? I'm not going to pay for that. Look at your 10 and 9. Where's that stubby? Oh, dear. What a whopper. What a whopper. Oh, dear. I'm going to lose it. Oh, dear.
Nicely coated, Vivian.
What a whopper. Is the phrase ringing in my ear.
And I think our next Indian stereotype will be Tim. Are you there, Tim?
Yep.
Okay, you're on the flight. Take it away. Go, man.
Okay. Where are my papa down? What is this shit that you are serving me? What are you, little Buddha? Give me all my stuff back. I want some decent food, papa downs and all that stuff. Do you not hear me?
I think he's done, Gracie. I think he got Papadams out and he's pretty much done after that.
All right. Have we got time for one final coat? One final Greg on the flight to Perth? I think, Matt, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Where are you calling us from, Matt?
Nambour and Sunshine Coast.
Nambour. Does Greg ever drop by and trash the joint?
All the time.
Does he? Okay, now have you got a turban on?
I have.
Oh, he started. Start that plane, Gracie. Take it away, Matt.
Where do you think you're going with that trolley, you little bastard? I want some rum and some coke, please. Hurry up, please. Do you little pussy? Why do you squeeze your butt cheeks together like that? You walk like a little pussy, or do you? It's very appalling.
All right. Well,
we get the idea.
You know, ugly though it was, I think that's probably a faithful transcription of what exactly happened.
That was, in fact, the black box recording.
All right, well, you know, I think this is the toughest one we've ever had to choose, Mickey.
It is indeed,
Matt,
Tone.
Tim, Vivian, Martin, who are you going for? Mick Malloy.
Just for the madness of it all, I'm going for Vivian.
All right.
She pulled it off with aplomb. It was a difficult task. But I believed she was Mahatma Cape.
Oh dear, what a whopper.
Yes. You know, we're going to have Gurinder on the show tomorrow to provide some balance.
Indeed.
Remember the time he went to town on the guru?
Oh, yeah.
Still smarting over that one. And guess what, Vivian? You've got the M&M's pack.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
It's not just any M&M's pack. It's the blue M&M's pack. And, of course, you're in the draw for that trip for two to New York and LA. And if you come out of the Colston in 3 weeks' time, you'll have a walk-on part in NYPD Blue. What sort of thing do you think you'll say in your brief appearance on the show if it's you?
Oh, my God, what a whopper.
All right. That's enough Mahatma Madness today. We'll be back with another violent round of When Celebrities Attack tomorrow on Martin Malloy. Sheryl Crow, every day is a winding road, and no, we're not signing off early. It's just that we've got to get to that very important interview with, of course, the Prime Minister. I know a lot of people are keen to hear this interview, which has never been heard before. Never went to air, that's what I've been told. Am I overselling it?
No, I think you're right in the money.
Just before we go, you've been meaning to do this for weeks now. What are you plugging, Mick Malloy?
Tonight, Channel 10, 11:30, round the country, Beavis and Butthead. Do yourself a favour, as Molly Meldon would say, and honk onto some pretty funny Beavis and Butthead. They're going off, those two.
You'll have to stay up late. And, of course, you not only get a bit of B&B action, you also get some rock clips.
Indeed.
It's a rare chance to see some clips before midnight.
Oh, yeah.
On the telly. So be watching Channel 10 tonight in most states. And we'd like to thank our guest, Franklin Ajay, all our gladiators and stunt coats. Tomorrow, thanks to Coca-Cola, we'll be back with another comedian. This one's from the UK. He's Frank Skinner. And just before we go, as promised, here's a bit of that very controversial interview with Kerry O'Brien.